Podcast, episode 312 for Wednesday, March 13th, 2019. This is Brian.
This is Lisa. Konnichiwa.
Ohio.
Ohio. All right, hit me with this bad joke.
Why?
I don't know why. I thought you should tell me there was no joke, jokes on you, and that would have been funny. But all right, go ahead.
Why did the cookie...
Oh, God.
Go to the doctor. Because he was feeling a little crummy. See, that's one you can tell your kids. All right, Justin's not even laughing, so I don't know.
That's bad.
Normally he laughs. I don't know. Anyway.
We pay him to laugh.
Here we are. We're
all back right. Home. You know, I had an amazing time in Japan. I'm just going to start with that. I've come to the realization that I may not be quite up for the time travel thing.
It's a little rough.
Jet lag is tough.
It's a little rough this week.
Yeah. In fact, we're going home after this.
We're out of here.
Japan, oh my God.
It's really an amazing country.
Well, we saw one city.
Well, yes, but we saw a couple cities.
We weren't
just in Tokyo.
It was absolutely breathtaking. And, you know, I think what surprises me the most is it wasn't that much of a culture shock as I thought it would be. Incredibly clean and quiet. That's my, I think, my biggest takeaway. Clean, quiet, and efficient.
Yes.
All the taxis are hybrids, and the cars don't honk. So the streets, I mean, this is a major, major city. It's so quiet. Everybody's so polite. Restaurants and coffee shops are quiet. There's not a ton of loud noises and talking. We heard a car honk one of those days that we were out and about, and it was kind of like shocking that
it doesn't seem to happen.
Yeah. It was really, really cool. And I was impressed that we were alone, just you and me, in Tokyo, navigating.
For the better part of 2 days by ourselves.
On our own, unchaperoned, unassisted, and we were doing well. We were finding where we wanted to go. I think the biggest problem was sometimes the phone GPS didn't like all the big buildings, but we get that in Chicago,
too. Right, everything is built up, so it goes, you know, everything is, every building is 8, 9, 10, 12 stories. It does mess with the GPS a little bit. There's a fair amount of people who do speak at least some English, so even if you're trying to speak some Japanese, the very, very little bit that we actually know, most people were very, very helpful.
If you point, they help.
If you point, yeah, you know. I want this coffee.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful trip. I think the highlight, one of the highlights, there were a lot of highlights, but one of the highlights for me was Mount Fuji.
Apparently it was an unusually clear day. So we got to see more of Mount Fuji than perhaps we expected. And then a couple days later, we were getting on a bus to go somewhere. And you could see Mount Fuji also from quite a distance.
From the hotel, actually.
Yeah.
The hotel was on the 25th floor, was the lobby. And you could look out, and then they had windows all at the back of the reception area. And you could see Tokyo Tower and Mount Fuji in the background, clear as day. It was really, really quite something.
And apparently that's not all that common.
Yep.
So that was really cool. We saw some shrines. We had some crazy food. Brian ate some squid.
Well, you know, when in Rome, as I say. The food was interesting. I must confess, getting back, it was nice to get back to food that we normally eat. But you know, there's a lot of seafood, a lot of sushi. There's a lot of
sake.
There's a lot of sake, going on.
That was rough.
Those boys know how to. They know how to put on a party, that's
hot
for sure.
Hot damn, they can party like a frat house. It was nuts. The big platinum event was quite an honor to be there. It was hugely impressive. The food spread, the alcohol, oh my God. And then there was an after party.
Yeah.
It was like being back in college when I was in my 20s. It was rough the next day.
They had a big barrel of sake and then they broke it open.
That was cool. That was cool to watch.
And that was neat. So I don't know how much of that we polished off, but
I think you and I drank most of
probably.
That.
Probably.
It was a lot.
Really good spread. The president, Mr. Nakata, and the vice president were mingling quite regularly at the event, so they weren't absent as sometimes you see.
Or just at a table or whatever. Yeah. They were mingling and talking to every single person, which was really more casual or more intimate than I thought perhaps it might be.
Yeah. And they both spoke excellent English. So
the whole trip was just amazing. We did buy a few things.
We did get a few things. We in Tokyo, and we were in the Ginza area most of the trip, like every other store has pens.
It was crazy. Even in the drugstore, in the
Lawson's, which is kind of like a 7-Eleven, but you can't really get drugs there.
They had
a little display of Platinum Pleasures. Just in the middle of nowhere.
It was crazy.
And there were a number of small stationery stores that you'd walk in and then you would see 100th anniversary Emperor.
It was crazy.
We went to Atoya, of course.
Yes.
Both G Atoya and K Atoya, which is actually across the street. Most people don't talk about that one.
Right. But they were both just, it was amazing to see how much stuff you can cram into a relatively small footprint for the building. But again, everything goes up.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect. I knew it's multi-floors. It's, what is it, 12 floors or something like that. I didn't realize that the actual size of each floor was fairly small.
Yes.
It was a lot smaller than I expected. Now, they pack a punch. They put in a lot of pens on display.
Yes.
For certain. It's well worth the trip.
Yes.
They had a lot of what are now discontinued pens that I couldn't believe they had. Sailor King of Pen Mosaics, for example. We saw those at a number of places, actually very reasonably priced. Two places we saw that pen in multiple colors. Just a lot of really great pens, Japanese domestic models. For the manufacturers. I mean, there was that Pilot Stella in Rosewood. That was.
I would go back and get that.
Yeah, I wish you'd have got it because it was.
Well, it's too small for you.
Well, so. I know, but it was just cool. I like that material.
Yep.
So, but it was the same material that they made the Vanishing Point in a couple of years
ago. The cherry bamboo.
Mm-hmm. They had a cherry bamboo and then they had a black bamboo and they had both of them on a Vanishing Point. But then they had at when we went to Marazan. They had them in a Stella, which was really super cool.
Like the Stargazer.
Yeah, Stargazer.
Those were cool. Now, we did each come home with a few things.
We did.
I got this adorable long short with tulips. Check that out. It's so cute.
Sailor. Yep. Little pink section.
I'm not normally a pink kind of girl, but the tulips were just talking to me.
Yeah.
So... cool nib.
What does that have? 18 karat or 21 karat nib?
I don't know.
Let me look.
You tell me.
Oh, it's steel, actually.
Oh, all right. Well, got it for a song.
The price is reasonable.
Adorable.
It's clean, pretty clean.
And Brian took me on this surprise trip on Thursday. This was a really, really hard place to find. Down an alley, through an alley, between buildings, to another alley.
Shoulder width.
Yeah, and the interior of this place was no bigger than like 6 feet long by 3 feet wide. It was like a table.
It was tiny.
It's a good thing we knew each other. But I ended up with two, and there'll be a picture of it, Urushi pencils. Seriously, check this out.
So she asked me to find Urushi pencils in Japan, and I didn't expect it to be quite as difficult as it was.
You like a challenge.
But I was able to find it, so That was awesome.
A friend had given me one years ago, and I'd never seen one before. I'd never heard of anything like that, so I didn't sharpen it because it's an Urushi pencil.
It's Urushi, yeah.
And then we managed to find two. So the one that I have is green, and then we purchased one green and one red, and so now I can sharpen the green just because it'll be cool to use.
That's funny. You're going to sharpen a Urushi pencil.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I am.
Yeah.
Use it.
Okay.
That's what I'm gonna do.
They weren't terribly expensive. I think they're about $16 a piece.
Yes. Yes. Which is crazy for a single pencil.
It is crazy.
But it's a Urushi.
But it was almost more of an adventure to find this place.
Oh, my God.
What was interesting is it was a place called Gojuan, and it was called the Ginza Pencil Museum. Although it really wasn't very museum-y. They had a Retro 51 crossword pencil with a used eraser there. They had these. They had some other really inexpensive pencils, but it wasn't laid out in any particular fashion. It was just
there were like a couple shelves and one little tiny display case with like a handful of assorted stuff.
Yeah, you literally could not back up. It was, I took a picture of Lisa in the shop.
It was cozy.
I literally had my back to the door. You were at the far end of the store, like an arm's length away from me. Your back was to a bookshelf and your front was to the display case that had the pencils in it. I mean, there was no room.
It was
tight.
I mean, if you think of a show table as being 3 feet wide by 6 feet long, that's about
it's probably, yeah.
It was.
This is the table that we have
cozy.
In front of us. Yeah, absolutely. So, but there's a lot of places like that. We went to an antique store that wasn't much bigger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so the guy specialized in European antiques, which was kind of funny.
How do you sell anything? You can't, everything is just so crammed in there.
I kept looking for like another corner, but we went in and then that was it. And
that
there was
it.
A little bit of thing here. And then you go to the left and then there was a little bit more area there. But that was it. There was
It wasn't couldn't have been there. More than 10 feet square.
Yeah, so.
We did go to another antique mall that was much larger. Two
I like
floors.
That. I like that.
And there was one entire display case that had one or two shelves of nothing but Casio watches.
Electric, yeah.
Like
digital. Two shelves. It was hilarious.
It was crazy.
It was crazy.
It was crazy. Like, it's a case of Casio.
We almost created an international incident. It's really a great antique mall because they have all these things. I wish we could have brought home, and I think the next time we go, I'll probably put them on a list. But they had a lot of scrolls, mm-hmm. A lot of prints, a lot of really neat things. They had some vintage kimonos, and Lisa sees one that actually matched my shirt.
It was
like almost
just
identical.
About exactly the same material as the shirt that Brian was wearing that day. And so I moved the stuff to the side, I thought. And went to pull it out, and it was still tangled on the backside, and I ended up pulling over.
In slow motion,
the entire
whole
rack.
Thing starts tipping forward. Now, of course, it's an antique mall. For those of you who have been in antique malls, you know there's stuff everywhere. There's china, there's breakable stuff everywhere. And I'm just thinking how expensive this is going to be. Or how fast we can run, but yeah. I managed to catch it.
Yep, I caught it with one hand. Brian caught it with the other, and we got it up there.
We had a good chuckle with the one of the shop owners, but
and a whole lot of deep breaths because, oh, but it
did
really.
We didn't buy it.
No, well, it didn't almost match your shirt though. That was cool. Yeah. It was very cool.
So.
My clumsiness is global.
So. There was that. There were a lot of great. We went to a lot of great little coffee shops. That mm-hmm. was fun. While there were Starbucks, the rumor was, and we didn't actually verify this, a tall?
Yeah.
Was $9 for a tall.
But you can get Starbucks anywhere.
You can.
We can get that at home. We get it when we travel. So let's do something different. And we found a couple adorable little coffee shops and had a good time. The hotel we stayed at was amazing. And every day they would replace the coffee and the tea. I love the way that all the hotel toiletries smelled, so I took a couple of those home. We had a good time. It was a
great hotel. Although their definition of what constitutes warm for food probably should be reevaluated. I guess they're so used to eating raw food that their eggs were like lukewarm. So yeah. By the time you put them on the get to your table,
even if you get your coffee and your juice and everything else first and then put the eggs on the plate, by the time you get back to the table to sit down, they were working on cold.
But it was a hell of a spread.
It was. You just swore.
Oh, I just swore.
I know you never do that. That's my job.
It was a lovely spread, including some, they had rice, they had miso soup, they had seaweed, they had all sorts of other Japanese-specific types of breakfast, and they had breakfast for Westerners.
And they had vegetables. Every day you had vegetables. You were loving it.
I have never been to a hotel that's had vegetables, mixed vegetables for part of breakfast.
Green beans one morning.
It was green beans, but then there was like carrots and peas and that too.
So it was a huge spread.
They had two options for every day.
Are you going to confess your dirty secret?
They made these great cinnamon rolls, so Lisa would take one, I would take one.
And Brian, would eat
I would
too.
Eat both, yeah. So.
Every day they had different pastries that were yummy.
We went out for sushi on, what was it, Wednesday night, I think it was. Wednesday or Thursday night, we had sushi.
Thursday, Sachiko.
Yep. And that was something else. I was a trooper. I'm not a big sushi fan, but...
You sat at a table with... it was you and I and Detlef and Cindy.
Yep.
And it really worked out to be a good... Not double date because we were with the rest of the group, but a good table mix because there were some things that they really liked that we weren't going to eat. And so there were some... I won't call them more generic, but less adventurous things that they were giving to Brian. Like, here, you have this and this. It's going to be easier, safer, or whatever.
Well, you know, I ate it all. I had some weird things. I had octopus one night, but I didn't leave hungry. I was actually quite full by the time we left. That and the, like, 8 bottles of sake we drank.
It was a lot
of sake.
And that was before the party.
That was before the party. The party, though, was insane because they had... Every when you got into this, it was a hotel. I don't know what it was, but in this room, they had tables for every country. So they had 74 different, lack of a better word, delegates, representatives from
retailers.
All over the world, retailers and distributors. So we had a table for USA, and there's a table for Turkey, and a table for Taiwan,
Germany,
and whatever. But they had people who
ladies
who. Their sole purpose was to tend to your table. And
ours was freaking efficient. I mean,
you put your drink down.
And it would either disappear. Like, you'd put your drink down to go get more food because the spread was massive. You come back, and one of two things happen. The drink is gone, and you have to start over. And she's there to pour because it's not polite to pour your own drink.
Can't pour your own drink.
Or your drink would be refilled. So it was impossible to keep track of what you were drinking.
I had 14 quarter glasses, I think. Because I remember at one point specifically, I took 2 sips and she came back and filled up my glass.
Yes.
2 sips.
And there was beer and wine and some fizzy drink and then sake and then some other drink. And then there was tea, but nobody drank the tea.
Yeah, everybody would pour the tea. They're like, oh, what's this? They would smell it and they go, it's tea. And then
they
put it down.
They were thinking it was like bourbon or something. They had sushi there. They had just a massive spread of all sorts of things.
Everything.
I think we only got like 1 piece of dessert, though. That was a little...
Yeah, the dessert kind of came and went. And that was that.
But, yeah. The party was amazing.
The party was great.
It was... the trip, the entire day for the Platinum event was really amazing. We got to see one of the Platinum plants. And
the DIM manufacturing process.
That was fascinating.
There were, in while, you know, we're familiar with what kind of goes on, it was very interesting. The most interesting thing for me was that they hand slit the nibs. It's not an automated process. You don't just put a nib in a slot, hit a button, and it goes. They literally operate a lever to slit the nib so you get it just where you want it to go.
Yep.
And then he inspects every one and then presses a clicker, a counter.
Yeah.
When he's done. So he knows how many he's done that day.
It was very efficient, as you would expect, but the machines are definitely old.
Old.
And
very old machines.
If it works, don't mess with it.
They got 50, 60, 70 years worth of dirt and grime on some of these.
But that was interesting. We got some tours of the city. We had Italian for lunch, which was
kind of
funny.
Italian for lunch, which was different.
And then we went to a temple, and they had a big display set up there. And then we
lots of vintage pens, everything from, you know, 1920s all the way through 60s, 70s, and some more modern pens, including what was very interesting, a 1965 retractable.
I know.
Platinum made a retractable. It
like
looks,
a vanishing point.
It looked just like a vanishing point, except the whole back end moved and not a knob.
Yeah. But that was
really
cool.
Really cool stuff.
And then we saw a play.
Yep.
Which was very different, very interesting. So it was just, it was amazing. It rained on Monday, so our walking tour was a little.
It was cold. It was cold and wet most of the week.
Yeah. Couple of the days were gorgeous.
Thursday was nice.
And it was just amazing. It was really. So we're going to go back.
We'll definitely go back.
You know, in a group tour, it can be really good because you can feed off each other and share things. But I think that I would go back just by ourselves and experiment with maybe a bullet train or some other things that we just didn't have time for.
Yeah, we did get on the subway to go around. It wasn't as difficult as I thought it would be, but
I would do more research before we do it ourselves.
We were also we were with the guide and we were moving pretty quickly. So I mean, I could figure out the train. I mean, trains are the same and no matter what language you speak. But I still couldn't grasp my head which, you know, you get on the platform, which one is it? Is it this one or is it, you know, which one is it?
But and the road to
$2.
The road to Mount Fuji sings. It makes music.
What will they think of next?
It
has ribs in the road.
And as you go over it, it makes music. It makes a sound.
It makes a song. Yeah. It makes a song.
We took a gondola ride. We ate hard-boiled eggs that were cooked in sulfur steam. And so the outside is black.
Quite tasty.
And the yolk was orange, not yellow. So that was interesting, but it tasted good.
Add 7 years to your life.
Supposedly, 7 to 10. And then in the gift shop, we saw these really cool wooden boxes and things like that. And our tour guide knew the man who made them. And so we got this very special trip just across the lake to the master's workshop. And we got to see him video.
Cool. Yep.
He does these puzzle boxes that are really hard to open.
He had one puzzle box that was 54 steps to open the box.
I would give up.
I think he had one where he had a coin in there, a 500 yen coin or something, said if you can open it up, you can have the coin, but nobody could do it. But and it was just, and some of them were boxes, some of them were really weird. They weren't boxes, they were like, he had one with
one was a toilet.
You had to do certain things to get the box to open up. Another one was a school child waiting for the bus.
Yes, yes.
One was a dice, and I mean, all
just
sorts of different
amazing,
things.
Amazing.
So it was a good time. I bought a couple pieces for my desk, a little pen tray. And
yeah,
then
we didn't give the kids their gifts yet.
Well, not yet, yeah. And a little container that actually works good for fitting cartridges. Yeah, so.
Yep.
But neat stuff. It was a good trip. It was fun. I'm glad to be back. I'm extremely exhausted. The trip back was
pretty brutal.
I think we got 4 hours of sleep in over 2 days.
I'm not meant for time travel.
So anyway, well, here we are. That was Japan, pretty much. We got a couple. I got a couple of pens. I did talk about these. So Lisa got the Sailor. I picked up this really cool platinum long short, striped, metal striped.
It's cool.
White gold, 14 karat nib. But you know, just like your E95S, it's really a cool, in excellent condition, really nice condition. So I got that, and I also picked up a 1940s-ish Pilot with a steel nib. It's black.
So we got a Sailor, a Pilot, and a Platinum.
We hit all three. Yep. You know, we also should probably mention. Marzen. We went to Marzen. It happened to be the week that the Pen Fair, the Marzen Pen Fair, was going on, which was awesome. So we actually went on Tuesday to kind of check out the place, and the Pen Fair started on Wednesday.
So then we went back on Thursday. So
we went back on Thursday.
And we ran into Keith. A big shout out to Keith.
So it was surprised to see us, and I was surprised to have anybody know who we were in Japan. That was kind of fun.
Yep.
But they had interesting pens. They had some, I got yelled at by a pilot rep for taking a photograph of some prototype Decimos that are being released over the next year. Really kind of cool.
Do we know if they're Japan only?
I'm just going to say they are because okay. There's no way we would get that many, but no. there were 20 of them.
They were cool.
Decimos. Yes. And I guess there's nothing saying we can't talk about them because they were there at the pen fair. They were like a brushed steel in all sorts of different amazing, bright, vivid colors.
Sort of like Retro 51 classic lacquer colors in a brushed metallic finish on a Decimo. Yep. Really, really cool.
Yeah, very so if you, cool. like if you have the Prelude, you know, the Schaefer Prelude in the brushed rose gold, that's what they look like on a Decimo. Really were. pretty sweet. But I took a picture of one and I got yelled at. I was supposed to take pictures, apparently, of that.
Bad boy.
So,
all right. But
anyway, I think that's the one. Wanted to mention Mars, but a really crazy, crazy bookstore. Huge.
Yeah.
And a floor and a half devoted just to pens. So
it was cool.
neat place.
What else? New product.
Coming soon, April. Sometime in April. I don't know when yet, but probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Sailor, the successor to the Starburst Galaxy and the Purple Cosmos, the Red Supernova. Pro Gear Slim.
Yes, only the slim size.
Only the slim size, 14 karat nib.
And this will be the only shipment this year.
So let's get this straight, because last year the Purple Cosmos, some dealers were saying the Purple Cosmos was a limited edition. The Red Supernova is a special edition with limited production. So what does that mean? That means that they're only producing 800 pens this year.
Yes.
To the world. Actually, they're not being sold in Japan. But there are 800 pens to the world are being made this year. They may or may not
make more next year.
More in 2020. There's no guarantee. It may be 800, they are not numbered, but they come in all 7 nib sizes. Rhodium trim, red, it's got that little sparkly finish
it's
to
gorgeous.
It.
It's gorgeous.
Looks great. So we have received an allocation. We're taking pre-orders on them.
And that's
they're
that's
pretty
it.
Much guaranteeing that's we're that's not it. Gonna we're not gonna get any more this year. So those are up on the site now. Red Supernova.
Grab them because there is a finite number for all the retailers in the U.S. this year. So. Done. All right, what else?
We're going to switch gears a little bit.
All right.
These just came in. I'm super, super excited. It's a completely nerdy thing, but we have new hemostats. So we've been expanding. go away. We've been expanding our repair offerings. You know, we added the section pliers a while ago, and we've been working on new J-bars and pressure bars and different sizes that were not previously available. We've been able to source a really, really nice quality hemostat. This thing is amazing. I've been using hemostats. I use them almost daily in repair work.
Your first one was the one I gave you?
No, I had one before that, but I liked yours because it was gold. And nice. So I could tell which one the hemostat was. But these regular stainless steel, they're substantial. They're solid. They're well-built. They don't feel chintzy or cheap. I don't think these things are ever going to break, but don't try. But I've been using them in place of my regular pair, mm-hmm. and I really like them. So we now have hemostats and a really good supply of them. If you do repairs, if you replace J-bars, you have to have a hemostat. And these lock, of course, that's what makes them a hemostat. But good size, nice quality.
Comes in great packaging even.
Yeah, it even comes in a nice little package.
We're excited. You know,
so
all right.
That's good.
Retro 51, Birds and the Bees, just came in.
This is
adorable.
This is cute. Free prize inside.
You get a sticker.
Oh, there's a sticker.
There's a sticker. 1,164 were made. The 64 is significant for the song, Birds and the Bees, came out in 1964.
Look at that.
Just a nice
little sticker.
Happy, springy little pen. Typical retro amazingness. Is that a word?
It might be.
I think it is.
Cute little packaging. It's got a little cardinal on it. It's kind of nice. I like this. This is a nice one.
So, that's fun. Those are in. They are limited. So, quantities. When they're gone, they're gone. Grab them now.
Well, as usual, we did not receive the full allocation that we asked for. So, but what are you going to do? I think Dave was telling me we actually got some fairly low serial numbers in our batch.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. In fact, Dave's got one set aside for himself. We had serial number 5.
Oh, awesome.
Apparently. So,
all right.
Anyway, Birds and Bees. Let's talk some ink real quick.
All right. Hit me.
Mont Blanc. Spider Metamorphosis Web Gray. Really kind of a creepy looking box because there's a spider on there. I always said it would be cool to do, you know, we just do pictures of this. We'll find someone who has a tarantula. We have yet to find somebody who has a tarantula, so.
You know, what would our staff think? Like, how do you think Justin feels about spiders?
I don't know.
Here, take a picture.
Well, yeah.
With a spider.
That'd be all right.
Go.
But they come in this nice, beautiful bottle. I love this bottle.
We have a giant spider on the wall.
Well, yes, but I wanted a real one. I wanted a real one.
Okay, well, so. I don't, so there you go.
Well, we can't find it, so the point is moot, isn't it? It comes in this great, great bottle. I mean, that looks beautiful sitting on your desk. You know, it's actually nice, nice gray. It looks a lot like a pencil.
Yeah.
It's really shockingly like a pencil. So, I don't know how long that's going to be around, but we've
so
got that.
Write with a fountain pen and make it look like a pencil.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. Good.
And Red Fox, Petite Prince.
Yes.
Really, that's a nice color.
Pretty
too.
Pretty color. Kind of a rusty color.
Yeah, rusty orange.
Does it match my hair?
Orange. Sepia?
No?
No, it's, no. But no, Chris did a nice review here. It's really a lovely, lovely color. If you like orange, you like dark orange, rusty kind of colors. This is really, really nice. And of course it comes in that same nice square bottle. Anyway, a couple inks, gray ink, pen, and we don't have any paper, but.
Nope.
This is the paper.
There you go.
So, anything else? Did we cover all the bases? I'm sure when we.
I think we did.
We'll think of 74 more things that we should have mentioned about Japan, but yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, I think that's it then. Thanks for joining us. And make sure to join us next week for more talk about pens, ink, and paper.
Follow the blog for news, ink reviews, and all sorts of other cool stuff.
And check us out on social media as Anderson Pens.
Don't forget, we have a store in Chicago, inside the Palmer House Hilton on the first floor, open 7 days a week. And if you're looking for part-time work, we are hiring in Chicago.
So, website chicago.andersonpens.com.
What about the mailing list?
Sure, mailing list. Make sure to sign up for the mailing list. You can sign up any page of the website on the bottom of the page, and we send out really cool stuff pretty much every Tuesday. And sometimes that's where the exclusive stuff goes. So if you want to be the first to know about new stuff and vintage pens and things like that, sign up for the mailing list.
While you're watching us on YouTube, like the video and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
And we'll see you next time.
It's a date. Bye.